I'm Brad Hillwig, and this is Normalish, a podcast about the ways in which all of us are adapting our lives in real time to the COVID-19 global pandemic. This is the sixth episode of Normalish. If it's the first time you're listening to this podcast, you might want to stop here and go back to the first episode just to get caught up. Also, this episode is part two, a continuation of episode five called The Three of Us, an episode about the very rocky path to parenthood for my wife Victoria and me, one that includes two very personal losses and now a pregnancy reaching full term right in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. If you haven't heard that episode, I'd recommend giving it a listen first. Finally, this episode will likely be the last Normalish podcast for at least a little while. More on that a bit later. Okay, let's get started. These days, the process of childbirth starts like this.
Before you go to your appointment, you do have to have a COVID test done. Mm-hmm. And I'm calling you to schedule that with you.
That would be great.
2 days before going in for a scheduled induction, Victoria is required to get a COVID-19 test at a drive-through testing site. Right.
So what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you roll up the window after I give you this dose, of course. You're going to take the swab and just swirl it around in your nostril, not any higher than you can put your finger, okay?
Okay.
Do it about 10 swirls in each nostril and then put the used part back down in here.
Okay.
And then I'll have you back up over in the result area after we're done.
Okay.
And it'll take about 15 minutes.
In both
yep.
of them? Okay.
Yep.
Despite a continued flattening of confirmed COVID-19 cases in our home state of Alaska, the fallout and the fear from this global public health emergency lingered.
So I'm just sitting here in a results area of the parking lot. Waiting for results, hoping everything's negative.
With travel restrictions and strict hospital protocols in place, we were preparing to welcome our first child under circumstances that were anything but normal.
She came back with the paper, and it was about 15-minute wait. She gave me a paper and said, pretty much congratulations on getting my pre-surgery COVID screening test. And on the back of the paper is my negative result.
And with that, we were clear to go have a baby. In less than 48 hours, the main event would finally begin. This episode of Normalish is our story as we bring a child into the world during a global pandemic. What you will hear are the real-time recorded conversations between me and my wife, Victoria, as we experience the highs and the lows of one of life's greatest miracles.
This is Victoria.
Hi, are you scheduled for an induction for labor?
I am. Yes.
I was just calling to tell you that it's okay to come on in.
Okay.
Just come where you would go for OB triage and we'll end up just checking you right into one of the labor and delivery rooms.
Okie dokie, that sounds good.
It's Friday, May 15th at about 6:30 a.m. We've been instructed to bring everything we need for a several-day stay at the hospital. Victoria is allowed only one support person for labor and delivery. Yes, that would be me. Our plan, check in with two people and check out with three.
We're going to do an inventory check here because I need to make sure that we have everything. I see my bag. You have all your things. This is everything baby needs. You got snacks, food, water.
Yeah.
Yep. Good?
I think so.
Okay. I'm going to drive now to a hospital.
With a suitcase, three backpacks, miscellaneous items, and a car seat, it feels like we're heading off to a faraway place.
Is there, like, some part of you who's still in disbelief over all this?
Yeah. Like, it's kind of hard to imagine, like, what is she going to look like, and, like, is this really happening, or...
I'm still kind of in disbelief that, this is what we're actually going to go do. It feels like we're going to catch a flight.
But instead of that, we arrive at Providence Hospital in Anchorage just a few minutes later with a lot of stuff.
Ready?
I think so.
What are we doing?
We're going to labor and delivery right now.
Okay. Let's go.
Stop recording and just stick the bag.
I got it.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I can't do both, really.
Suffice it to say, the mood so far is pretty light. But the gravity of the situation isn't lost on us. As soon as we walk through the hospital doors, our lives will likely never be the same again.
8:20, we're checked in. About to see the doctor here for the first time. We're in the delivery room. It's nice and quiet and kind of dark in here.
I'm a little nervous what they're going to do.
We'll get an overview from the doctor here. Kind of let her frame the day when she checks you out. Yeah?
Checking into the hospital included multiple COVID-19 screenings, a temperature check, questions about symptoms, a briefing on face coverings, and the need to minimize movement around the hospital. We made it to the delivery room, where it was simply time to wait.
So the nurse told us a funny story about a dad who passed out on top of the mom and then had to be laid down on the floor. So far, the bar for success for me is pretty low.
I hope you don't pass out.
I'm not planning on it. So far in the process here, we've realized, I think, that we're in a marathon, not a sprint. Would you say that's true?
Mm-hmm.
Just settle in and wait.
Settle in and wait. That's something we've been doing all week. The thing about a scheduled induction is that it gives you a lot of time to think. For us, that meant imagining what was to come and attempting to wrap up one important detail, naming our baby girl.
So are you saying that we've chosen a name?
I have not confirmed or denied that I have chosen a name.
When do you think you'll know?
When I meet her.
So we're going to come to the hospital with a pocket full of names.
Yeah.
I just hope we agree in the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, I could just throw a curveball and just have a new name.
If you come up with a new one, let's discuss. Because this is semi-permanent. Like, she's going to live with it through all stages of life.
But the name doesn't make the person. The person makes the name. So whatever, whoever she is...
Which is why I want to meet her before we start saying names out loud.
But whoever she is... will define how people view that name.
Victoria, look. They have a little hat over here. A little hat and a tiny little diaper over here. Isn't that cute?
Back in the delivery room, the waiting game continues. The obvious question, how long will this process take, has a pretty simple answer. It depends. Everyone is different.
You've had a couple spikes on the... monitor here. It's pretty flat right now.
Doctors have begun administering induction treatments. All we can do is wait for signs that Victoria and baby are ready to go.
What is it? Just, is it like a wave cramp? Yeah.
Within just hours of arriving, the process of labor begins.
It's okay, bud. It's okay. Relax. Just breathe a little bit, okay? One or two days of your life. One last push across the finish line, and then we'll have a great gift. Mm-hmm. Yeah? It's okay, bud. You're strong enough for this, okay? Your body's made for this. You just gotta let your mind... open up and let your body be, okay? Stepped away for get some food here real quick.
Despite restricted access at the hospital, I was able to make brief trips to the cafeteria while wearing a mask as nurses watched over Victoria.
Victoria is beginning stages of labor, although she's been in it for maybe 4 hours, almost 4 hours here, using a medicine to, you know, just inducing some contractions and they're relatively uncomfortable at this point for her, and she's definitely feeling it. So difficult to watch someone you love be in pain, but it's a marathon for sure, and not a sprint, so we'll see how things go, but certainly the discomfort is ramping up for Victoria, and so That's where we're at with that.
Without additional in-person support allowed, I kept family posted every step of the way with text messages and regular updates in a private Facebook group.
It'll be better when you can get up and kind of walk around a little bit, move around, and we can support you a little better. Yeah?
As Victoria's sole on-site support person,
we are on a trek.
My limitations were beginning to show.
A long trek, and
primarily relying on blind optimism.
We just don't quite know where the finish line is yet.
And cliched sports analogies about marathons and finish lines.
I do wish there could be another support person here that's a female that's been through labor. The nurses and the doctors are great, but a mom or a friend or somebody who's been through this would be a little bit more capable than me. I'm doing what I can, trying to comfort and offer support and positivity, and that's definitely one of the downsides of where there's no additional opportunity to have another support person. So just what we're dealing with, but we'll get there.
Even with early signs of labor, there would be no quick delivery here. Victoria's discomfort moderated slightly, and the waiting game resumed.
Do you think the baby's gonna have a full head of hair?
I don't think she'll have a full head of hair, but she'll have hair.
Yeah?
I think she'll have hair. I had hair.
Having never been through labor before, we imagined a sustained period of intensity followed by the delivery of a baby. In reality, it ebbed and flowed, allowing us to find moments of joy.
The nurse just told me that something clicks and...
And your whole life changes?
Your whole life changes.
But we kind of knew that. Like she said, we're going home with a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Just like... I can't snap with my left hand. Like that.
Moments that somehow included watching all of the movie Titanic.
Got Billy Zane hair in Titanic.
Don't backtalk Rose. We're getting loopy if we're reenacting Titanic scenes.
No, you are getting loopy.
The ship's going down, bud.
I know, it's terrible.
You said you didn't want to watch that.
No, there was room for Jack on that board.
There was.
There
he
was.
Didn't have to freeze to death.
No, he did not. They could have kept each other warm.
Right about now, a lesser podcaster might make parallels between Jack and Rose floating on a door in the ocean and the two of us caught in the limbo of a lengthy labor. But we won't go there. Not yet, anyway.
I don't want her born before this movie's over. I don't want this to be the first movie she sees.
No.
So we're about 12 hours in. 12 plus hours into being here. Had a pretty big day.
Yeah. It's gone by pretty fast, though, no?
Yeah, the time is going by pretty fast, actually.
It's actually kind of strange.
You're having regular mild contractions.
I have no idea what to expect for this evening.
It's about 9:30 at night, almost.
I'm assuming that these doctors and nurses, they're all prepared for women to go into birth at night, so... They better be ready for this baby.
Yep, well...
As Nurse Lori said, she's going to be a sassy one.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone says it's life-changing, right?
Well, it already has been.
Yeah.
That's already begun.
Yeah.
And with that, day turned to night, and night turned to morning. Still, no baby.
Well, we're about 20 hours in, and no baby yet. But there's progress. Things are moving in the right direction, and Victoria is doing great. Not much sleep last night. Maybe an hour here, an hour there. Victoria was kind of up and down in some different spots and trying to get comfortable. It is labor for you, I can tell. It's work, huh?
Mm-hmm. There's been no delivery yet.
Yeah. Labor, but no delivery. I feel good about the 16th. I'm optimistic. It's just after 6 a.m. I'm feeling good about the 16th.
It's about this point, more than 20 hours in, that sleep deprivation and the slow escalation of labor put us in a strange state of delirium. Yet Victoria remains intensely focused on the task at hand.
I'm alert. I want to get this over with.
You ready to get kind of determined and fierce about it?
A little bit. I'm agitated.
What do you mean agitated? Like in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're ready to be done.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to get this delivery going.
Mm-hmm.
This is all temporary and this is going to be the greatest day of your life. Okay? I know it doesn't feel like that right now, but it will be.
And before we know it, we start checking off some pretty important milestones.
27 hours and counting. The water is broken.
Just a few hours later, a report from the nurse that Victoria was now 9.5 centimeters dilated.
Whoa.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
Victoria.
Holy cow.
You've been doing some work.
The magic number doctors look for, 10 centimeters, was now in sight. After more than 30 hours, it was just about time to have a baby.
I'm so proud of you. Okay?
Yeah.
I love you.
Love you.
Stupid mask. You're getting focused, I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
This is gonna be good.
Yeah.
Okay? Just one moment at a time. Just be strong, okay?
Yep.
Focus. Get a little mad about it. Give me that Victoria feistiness, okay? And let's get through this.
Yeah.
Let's get this girl out here.
9 and 10.
Soon, Victoria begins actively working to deliver our baby girl. At this point, I turn off the recorder to support and bear witness. The moment of childbirth is a sacred bond between a mother and a baby, two souls caught together in the fleeting present. One journey ending, another one beginning anew. For 3 grueling hours, Victoria and our baby girl toiled together. Through it all, Victoria displayed a deep strength more akin to a force of nature than any human trait. At 8:06 p.m. on Saturday, May 16th, everything fell silent. The disruptions of a global pandemic, the hours of labor, the struggle of 2 previous losses, all of it paused for the single greatest moment of our lives. Our unspeakable joy marked with a beautiful cry.
Beautiful. Hi. 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 Hi.
Hi. Hi. Hi. Hi. Hi. Hi.
Hi. Hi. Hi.
The night before we checked into the hospital, Victoria and I took a trip to a special place.
I wanted to come somewhere meaningful, a parking lot.
Wow.
The former building of the Anchorage TV station where we both worked, the place we first met.
No, I wanted to come here because I have memories of us sitting here in the car after late night newscasts. This is where it started.
Wow, yeah.
We tend to know very little about the lives of our parents prior to our birth, but let the record show that our path to this baby girl began with a smile almost 2 decades ago in a dimly lit break room.
This is where we grew close together, and this is where we became friends first.
The years in between, just a prelude to what comes next.
I know you're going to be a great father and protective and supportive, and you're caring. And I'll see that throughout her whole life.
You're contractually obligated to say that, so thank you. I know you're going to be a great mom. You guys are going to have a bond like no other, you two. And it's going to be fun to watch it blossom. And it's going to be fun for you to live it, too.
Living it with a baby girl who still needed a name.
I just really like the name, and honestly, since like Monday or Tuesday, that's been her name to me.
of this week?
Yeah.
Been keeping that to yourself?
I just kind of wanted to sit with it for a couple days and then try it on for size, but that's how I've been thinking about her.
Yeah.
After countless options and many debates, we'd finally chosen a name, Annabella. It's a name that feels musical. On paper, it's beautiful, symmetrical, and simple. Annabella. The double N's and double L's give it a gentle pulse, broken by the thump of a strong B right in the middle, and peppered with three perfectly weighted A's. Annabella. In Italian, it's said to mean loving. In Latin, it can be interpreted as hello, beautiful. But no matter the meaning, Annabella just felt like a perfect fit.
Congrats, Mom.
Of course, we're not just naming a baby, but a person who will grow through the stages of life. And for that, Annabella presents more than a few options. Annie, Anna, Anne, Bella, Ella, or Ellie. Names that reflect who she will be to so many different people throughout her life. And finally, it's possible there's a hidden tribute that only Victoria and I will ever need to reflect on.
Thought about the name Annabella? Huh? You know, it's like two names combined in one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe as an honor to our two previous losses.
Aww, that makes me almost cry. Aww.
Kind of like a little tribute.
A tribute, not in sadness for what is lost, but for joy in what came to be. Annabella, it's a name she will make her own. Her middle name, Genevieve. Named after Victoria's great-grandmother on her dad's side, Genevieve Lombardi, an Italian immigrant to New York. Annabella Genevieve, born on May 16th, a day that offers a final poetic twist.
Born on your grandfather's birthday.
Born on my grandfather's birthday.
Oh. Is that right?
Yeah.
Harry Thompson Else, my grandfather on my mom's side, since passed, also born May 16th. A Marine, a World War II veteran, a woodworker, inventor, and all-around gentle soul. So there you have it. This is how Annabella Genevieve came to be. We couldn't have written the story any better if we tried, even with the strange and uncertain times of a global pandemic. When this podcast started, at the end of March, the U.S. had just passed 100,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19. As I write this now, in late May, we're nearing 100,000 reported deaths from this lethal virus. Where we go from here is still an unknown. But as I look back to these six episodes, I realize that so much of what people have shared about coping with these uncertain times, about being present,
slow your life down and connect with people again,
appreciating what you have.
What we have is right now, today. I don't have tomorrow yet.
Remembering to laugh.
I think there's certainly a healing property in laughter.
And about being kind.
It's just being a good person and very loving and kind. And if you leave that behind, you're going to be celebrated every day.
All of it applies to life with or without a pandemic. And that is reason enough for hope.
So we had a baby.
We had a baby.
What do you think about all that yesterday?
It was intense. Life-changing. She's a cutie.
I think we'll keep her.
Yeah.
Just minutes after Annabella was born, our happiness turned to uncertainty. Due to a complication, Victoria very rapidly lost a lot of blood, turned white, and went into shock. I stood frozen and helpless, caught between our newborn child and her mom. Terrified and speechless. But with the help of an incredible doctor and medical staff, true superheroes with masks and all, Victoria quickly came back, full of life and love for our bundle of joy. It was a dramatic swing of extremes, worth mentioning here, only because, like the pandemic Annabella has been born into, it serves as a reminder that although life can be turbulent and uncertain, there is always a way forward. Or, to put it in terms of Titanic, if the ship sinks, climb on that door floating in the ocean and make room for the ones you love.
She's got a head full of brown hair that's very cute and very soft. And she's got these cute little eyebrows and chubby little cheeks.
Very chubby cheeks.
As I mentioned at the top, this will be the last episode of Normalish for a while. I may post some bonus content soon, but in the meantime, this feels like a good chapter to end on. I started this to make a podcast about how we're all adapting to life during a global pandemic. Never did I think it would lead down the path of honoring a friend's late mother or sharing our own personal story. My hope was that by sharing these stories, it would help create a sense of community during a time of social distancing and self-isolation. And this podcast took a community of support to create. There are simply too many thank yous to list here. For this episode, Victoria and I want to give our deepest gratitude to the Anchorage Women's Clinic, especially Dr. Espindola and Dr. McCreary for helping to safely bring Annabella into this world. We also want to thank the incredible nursing staff at Providence Hospital. We never saw your faces behind those masks, but your kindness brought us peace when we needed it. To Victoria, your strength is an inspiration, and in the end, I was immeasurably proud to have the responsibility of being your support person throughout childbirth. I want to thank everyone who has taken the time to participate in or listen to Normalish. There is an email address in the show notes here. If you have any feedback at all, please feel free to send me a message. I'll read every single one. Finally, Normalish may very well return again down the road. How's that for a cliffhanger? But until then, take care and thank you for listening.